from Leviticus chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant he shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but as only through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." This is the word of the Lord. Continue with hymn number 843. Reading of the Gospel. The Gospel is from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse to the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been reading the Sermon on the Mount, and over the last 2 weeks, we've made a few points. Instead of fully embellishing them again, I'm just going to state some of the first ones. We have to keep it in our heads that the Sermon on the Mount can only be properly received by disciples. The portal of those disciples is the doorway to the sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about sanctification for those who have already been justified by grace. This ties in with the second point that we've made, which I think helps us in these regards. We talk about sin, death, and the devil as our great enemies. We normally talk about sin and about the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. But the Bible can also talk about the sting of death being sin, or fear of death causing our enslavement. We can look at death as being our great enemy. Even though we are justified heirs of the resurrection, theoretically freed from our fear of death, we still grow. We still progress in our apprehension of this reality. And we will struggle until the day that we are clothed with that immortal body. Nevertheless, we are called to be salt and light, to live free from the fear of death. We have called this path the way of love, which is often the way of the cross. The way of love, or the way of the cross, is revealed to us through the law fulfilled by Jesus and authoritatively interpreted by Jesus. And the primary distinctive of that way of love, or the way of the cross, is that we've been called to live for others. Love, not fearing death, gives itself for the other. Now, Jesus is in the midst of giving 6 examples of this authoritative interpretation of the law. Last week, we read 4 of the 6 examples, which started with the verbal formula, you have heard it said, but I say. And Jesus took up murder, adultery, divorce, and oaths. In those first 2, murder and adultery, Jesus gives no suggestion that the literal ethical rulings or force have been put aside. But he also highlights how they are to be understood in the light of love. It's not what goes in, but what comes out of the heart that defiles. The heart, fearful of death, seeks everything for its own advantage. Murder, to Jesus, is just the full-blown action of hatred. The point of the law is not don't murder, but clean your inward heart by practicing reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers. The disciple doesn't indulge the path of sin, but walks with the Spirit the path of virtue. Likewise with adultery. The disciples is not looking with his or her right eye for what they can possess physically, hoping to stave off death for a little while. But love means looking out for the best for that other person. Fear of death says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Or maybe, as more than one poet has argued, gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Jesus would remind us of eternity. It would be better to enter life blind than to be thrown into the fire. And there is life. Gathering rosebuds is the fear of death and the denial of the resurrection. The fruits of the Spirit are self-control. The beatitude is on the pure in heart. The second two examples that Jesus brought up, divorce and oaths, Jesus points to the problem that the laws which you have heard presuppose actions, which, if you are walking the way of love or the way of the cross, would not have happened. The laws about divorce were given for the hardness of our hearts. If you are practicing reconciliation in your life, and you're not letting your eye seek to possess, why do you end up in divorce? Instead, you would realize that you are no longer yourself, but are called to live in love, in the one flesh that God has put together, instead of seeking to preserve yourself. The laws about oaths come about because we're fearful of death and punishment, and we became liars and cheats, trying to get the most for ourselves away from our neighbor by any means necessary. So that simple yes and no became elaborate oaths to counteract the lies. The disciple speaks the truth in the way of love. Being known for that, being salt and light, eliminates the need for oaths. Which brings us to the fifth and sixth examples which we read. Regardless of how hard the prior examples might be, almost everyone can see that, hey, I might be able to get something out of it following those rules. You can imagine the philosophers, say, Plato or Aristotle or Confucius, coming to say some of those same positions. The golden rule: treat others as you would want to be treated, which is in the Sermon on the Mount, is also found in those philosophers. More often in its negative form, don't treat someone in a manner that you wouldn't want to be treated. But Jesus is not calling his disciples even to enlightened rule following. Unless your righteousness abounds more than the Pharisees, was Jesus' phrase. And it's almost spookily like Jesus knows that we are searching for a way to carry out the letter of his words, weighing in the balance the moral calculus. Will I be close enough to full to even Stephen, if I live this way that Jesus is talking? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yep, we've heard that. And the more full context of that saying in Deuteronomy is a warning to the judge to show no pity. Yep, Jesus, I'm tracking. If we're going to live by that tough law, we will need tough judges. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If they slap you on the right cheek, the backhand of dishonor, give them the left. If they seek to strip you in court to take away your rights, give them more than what they're suing for. If the sovereign tyrant forces you to go a mile, give him the second willingly, without asking. If someone begs for your livelihood, give it to him. but I'll never get even. I'll never be made full. That moral calculus will never balance. That fear of death kicks into full force. On that last example, I challenge you to try and live it for a day. Agree that if someone asks you anything, that you will give it to them. If they want to borrow something, you'll let them take it. See how far into the day you make it without having an anxiety attack, or hiding in your room, or finding some other way to circumvent it. You'll realize just how deep our slavery to the fear of death is. Jesus is calling us on our attempts to live it by the letter and not by the Spirit. But there is one who fulfilled this, who gave us the pattern. When they slap you, then they spit on his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that slapped you?" When they take you to court, when morning came, they bound him and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge. When the tyrant forces you, go the second mile. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When someone begs, give. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you might be sons of your Father in heaven. We were all enemies of the Father in thought, word, and deed. In open rebellion and outright rejection. But this is the character of our Heavenly Father, that while we were his enemy, he sent Jesus. And he didn't send Jesus as the heroic warrior come to conquer. Jesus didn't come with judgment, but with love, to walk the way of the cross, fulfilling the law and demonstrating the character of the Father. And it's not that that character of God can't be observed naturally. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun rises on the evil and the good. Even though his creation is cracked and groaning, riven by us, the Father daily and richly provides all that I need to support this body and life. But even that, in our fear, gets turned against God. We think that it proves he doesn't care, or that he's gone absent. We blame him for the mess and for not cleaning it up. We doubt that he cares. Instead, Jesus points at these as the maturity of love, the way of the cross. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you can be sons of the Father. You must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And now we should pause for a second to understand just what is meant by that perfect. I don't think that is actually the best word to translate the Greek today. We are focused upon sin, so we take perfect to be sinless, which is only part and probably not the largest part of the word. In Greek, it is teleos. There's a fancy theological word, teleology, which comes from it, which means something that it was designed or purposed for. when the pop group Mumford & Sons sings the lines, "You were born to meet your maker," they are practicing teleology. In the end, when you are 100% what you were made to be, what does that look like? You therefore must be teleos, as your heavenly Father is teleos. Yes, the end is perfect, but you need words like mature or complete to get the full understanding. Be mature. The Father loves you and demonstrates it every day. Be complete. The Father is the fountain and source of all life. He has resurrected Jesus as the firstborn from the dead and will bring you to that completion. Don't act out of fear of death, because you are made for life. Be mature. Practice this love even for those who will not pay it back, especially for those. Be complete. Don't take your ethics or your standards of conduct from the ever-changing crowd, but from the character of your heavenly Father, in whom there is not even the shadow of change. Be perfect. Live not out of fear, but out of love, as you were made to live. Good luck living that with a checklist. It's not that sin's not important. The one who willfully continues in sin doesn't get at what Jesus has done. But the call of the disciple subsumes that checklist in an open-ended call. Grow in godliness. Be conformed to Christ. Walk the way of the cross, the way of love. That fulfillment of the law for us will always be just a bit out of reach until we reach the resurrection. But Christ has fulfilled it for us. And death is no more, swallowed up in resurrection, so that we might become mature, complete, perfect in love, and in all good works. We'll continue our reading of the Sermon on the Mount next week, as Jesus turns from the law and understanding towards what I'll call a mature practice of discipleship. Amen.